Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I hope your week has been going well. Before we dive in, I just want you to know, you are seen, heard, and loved by God. Nothing is too small or insignificant to Him. If it matters to you, it matters to Him, because you matter to Him. Okay, I just had to get that off my chest. I hope you're ready for today's Holy Spirit fire. Today, we are chatting with the one and only Maddie Ray about cleansing ourselves of the culture and centering our lives around Christ. Maddie Ray is an evangelist, a Christian pop artist, author, speaker, and incredible woman of the Lord whose heart is to minister to the young generation the gospel message of God's love, power, and redemption through Jesus Christ. I am so grateful to know this friend personally, and she is someone you have to be friends with. This combo is convicting in the best way, and I pray it inspires you to seek the Lord more and more. All right, let's dive right in. Maddie Ray, welcome back to Faith and Friends. You haven't been here in a hot minute. A lot has happened, and I've missed you so much. So thank you so much for joining us.
I am so glad to be on here with you, Georgia. I love your podcast. I love Faith and Friends, and I love you, and I love being able to be on here. So I'm excited.
You're the best, girl. I actually wore this shirt for you today. This shirt says, "I am the Christian the devil warned you about." And it just made me,
let's go.
Because you are so powerful in the Lord. You literally let the Lord use you in every single area of your life, which is so beautiful. It's like a beautiful diamond that just shines on every side, all for His glory. It just reflects Him from your voice, singing, speaking, praying, preaching, writing, girl.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
It's just amazing. Like, I am just so honored to be your sister and your friend. And I just want to talk about all the things. I know you've been on the road a lot, just ministering and getting to see our generation just truly hungry, searching, on fire. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all the things, sister. So what are you seeing out there right now?
Yeah. You know, I think first, one of the biggest things that our generation is facing that we have to be aware of, like when we go out and for anyone, whether you're a leader or you're evangelizing, or you're just someone that wants to like spread the gospel at your school or your campus or wherever, the biggest thing that is happening in our generation today is there's a battle for truth. That's the biggest thing that our generation is facing, is what is truth? That's why today so many young people can sit around together and they say, well, you can have your truth and I can have my truth. But we name is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus is the truth. And so when I go out, I think one of the biggest things that I try to do is just share the truth with young people, to just get into the word. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions when ministering to young people, whether it be teens or young adults or even to children, is to think that they won't understand, or that it's too much for them, or we need to, you know, do all these different things to package it a certain way. Now, obviously, we need to break it down in a way where they understand it, but it's the same Holy Spirit.
Come
on.
It's
the same word. It's mm-hmm. the same thing that can be applied, and they need truth. They want the truth. The world is not sugarcoating anything today. Culture is not trying to repackage it in a different way for a 14-year-old than they are with a 34-year-old. They're not trying to sugarcoat it. So as believers, as Christians, as leaders, as those that God can use to be a voice to others, that's where we have to see that we just have to present the truth to them. And when they hear the truth, just as the Bible says, it sets them free. When I go out to the places that God is sending me, and I begin to preach God's word, and we begin to see the power of God moving, the fire of God coming, young people leave out of those services so liberated. They leave out so empowered. They're so hungry for that. I have seen at so many places that I've gone, when I've called for like an altar call, young people just running to the altar because they want it so bad. They want the real power of God, the presence of God, the fire of God. They want to experience God in a way that they never have before. Many young people that have grown up in church and have heard about Jesus, they want to encounter the Jesus they've always heard about. And so I think when I go out and when I present all that's just in God's word, they just eat it up and they wind up leaving set free, liberated, delivered, healed, saved, ready to just go out and to tell their friends about it because they've just encountered something that cannot be denied because of how real it is.
Mm, Sister, come on. This is literally why Jesus came, to set the captive free. And he said, greater are you than he who was in the world. Greater works will you do. And sometimes we just gloss over that in scripture and we're like, oh, okay. Like that was just for the apostles. That is just for, you know, the Bible times, not for today. But he is the same. Like you said, there's no junior Holy Spirit. It is the same word. It is the same Spirit of the living God that literally fell upon them at Pentecost. It is here. It is alive. It is real. And we have to just tap into that and step up. And you're doing that. And sister, it literally like gets me so excited and encourages me more than I think you will ever know, because we are out in this together. We are living it up in our young adult days for the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ. And man, we need him. Like we are so in need of him. And like you said, this search of truth. Everything is being questioned. Like if you sit there for long enough, as someone says, what is your truth? What is your identity? Just questions. And the enemy is really roaring right now, because I know it's because he's afraid. And I know you know that too. He tries everything. And at his very last thing, he tries to intimidate you and get you to question, just like back in the garden. Just like nothing is new under the sun. And so are you seeing a lot of that spirit of confusion and that spirit of just misplaced identity out on the road and just out where the Lord is sending you? And what are you seeing that is truly that breaking point of setting people free?
Yeah, well, I think with that battle of truth, one of the biggest areas of truth has to do with identity of what is the truth of who I am, who I was created to be, what I was created to do, who God says I am, what his word says about who I am in so many different ways. We obviously see the obvious areas of identity, but then there's other areas of identity. And that's such a big part that's just plaguing our generation, is what is my identity? What is the truth of who I was truly created to be? And that's why when I go out to the different places that I am, that I'm at, we have to get back to the word of God. That is our source. That is the source of truth. It is the source of identity. It is the source to every question, because there's so much, like you said, so much questioning that's going on. There's so much challenging that's going on, things that we believe as Christians that being challenged by social media, by the culture, by society. It's all being questioned and it's being challenged. And there is such a spirit of intimidation that's coming through. That's why you have things like cancel culture, where, oh, well, if you're going to believe this or you're going to believe that, we're going to cancel you, even though the culture says, well, we're so inclusive and you can believe what you want to believe and we'll accept you and this and that. But it's so hypocritical that when we come across with what actually is true as Christians, there's such an intimidation. There's such a bullying way that this culture has. And I've just always, every time, taking young people back to the word of God. I had a girl come up to me once when I was out, and she literally straight up out the gate came up to me and she said, Maddie Ray, what do you think about homosexuality? Just boom, right out the gate. And I'm like, oh man, I'm like, she really... Dude, I like, can we like say hi first?
Like, what's your name? Sign up real quick.
Exactly. We just went straight into it. And you know, Georgia, I could have taken the time and I could have walked this girl through all of the different scriptures. I could have walked her through everything that the Bible says about homosexuality. I could have walked her through all of that stuff. But I took a second and I said, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to respond to this girl right now? That's actually going to make an impact, because many people can just say things. Many people can just say whatever. But I looked at this little girl and she was young. She was probably only like 12 or 13 years old. And I said, what I first want to talk about with you, sweetheart, is not whether or not I think homosexuality is right or wrong. What I first want to talk to you about is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you have a relationship with him? Because when you get to know Jesus, that's when Jesus, not Maddie Ray, but Jesus will reveal to you what your identity is. He'll show you who he created you to be. He'll show you the life that he has for you to live. And when you get to know that about yourself and you get to know that about the Lord, you won't even have the question anymore of, should I like girls or should I like boys or who should I be liking or who should I, you know, have a relationship with? You'll know who you are. You'll know what your identity is. And I think when we can approach things with this generation in a way that really really helps them have a better foundation where they're grounded in more of the word of God, not just in sometimes these debates and arguments that people can get into at times, but when they can, when God can reveal himself to a young person, because many young people can grow up being told what's right and wrong. Mm-hmm. This whole world has been told what's right and what's wrong. And what's being challenged today is, well, this is right and that's wrong. Well, no, that can be right for you, but it's not, you know, right for me. And all of that's being challenged. But when we can get back to the source of Jesus Christ, when we can get back to his word, and we don't live our life just based off of a right or wrong, but we live our life based off of honoring the Lord and wanting to know his true plan and purpose for us and his identity for our life, it totally changes the way that we live, because we don't begin to question all these different things now anymore. We just fully submit to the life that he has for us, because the life that Jesus has for us is greater than any life that this world can present to us, that society can tell us we can live, that social media can be an example of. It's greater than any other life that's out there. Because Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And life with him is the most abundant life we can live. It's a life where we are sure of who we are, sure of our identity, sure of our calling, sure of our purpose. But it's only found when we truly get to know him.
Mm. You're right. It is all about Jesus. And the only thing he exalts over himself is his word. And his word is what we have to get back to. You're right. And you know, for so long, I feel like I was sitting in churches, places, in a culture where it's just 3 points that rhyme, sound good. And it's like a Band-Aid sermon, more like a TED talk than a convicting preaching on God's word that will truly actually set me free. And so let me ask you, Maddie Rae, for our friends out there that may be in a church that is comfortable, that is not convicting, maybe even a church that is conforming to the patterns of this world and saying that these things are okay and different things that are totally disobedient to the word of God. What would you say to that friend? How can they recognize, hey, maybe this isn't biblical?
Yeah. Well, that is a huge problem today is with the world, which is why I've been talking a lot about this culture and the church needing to really cleanse ourselves of the culture, because we have become very well adjusted to this culture and we have let a lot come into the church, and the world is having a lot of influence in the church. The culture is having a lot of influence in the church. Social media is dictating so much within the church, just a lot of that. And so I think one, for our friends that are listening, it's really good to be aware of that. You just need to know that when you start seeing things that are maybe coming, you know, that are trends on social media or a lot that's in the culture, and you start seeing the church embrace a lot of that, that's a bit of a red flag right there. Is the church is not called to mimic what the world is doing. The church is called to stand for righteousness. The church is called to stand against some of those things that are in the culture, to equip believers to be rooted in the word of God, and then to be sent back out to make a difference in this world that we're living in. And so that's number one. If you see that going on in your church, then that is where you need to now go to the Lord and say, God, I need you to reveal to me the church that I need to be a part of. God, I need you to show me, where do you want me to be planted? Because one of the biggest things that we can't do, that I do see people doing, is sometimes we get mad at the church. We get upset about how the church is doing things, whether it be from one end of the church has hurt me and they've abused me and this is what's gone on in this church, or to the other end of they're just very seeker sensitive. They're very, you know, worldly and all of this stuff going on. No matter what extreme the church is in, you sometimes see people that just leave the church and they say, I'm just done with it. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to just read the word. I'm going to have church at home by myself. And we wind up stepping outside of God's church, and we're not planted now in God's house. Because at the end of the day, the church is God's house. Yes, it has been given over to the responsibility of the pastors and the leaders that are in there. But as leaders in the church, we're called to hold to the integrity of what God's house is supposed to be. So that's where you have to pray and say, God, send me to the right church. Because the goal is not to just be out of the church and I'm done and now I'm just doing it on my own. But the goal is for God to show you where he wants you to be planted, so you can be fed the way you need to be fed, so you can get into the word of God, so you can be held accountable, so you can grow in your convictions, so you can get the help that you need in areas of your life, all the different things. So one, see the red flags of the church that you're in right now. Two, go to the Lord and ask God to show you, to open up your eyes to a church that you can be a part of. 3, when you find a church, hopefully it's one that's locally, because I believe it is important to be planted in a local church that you can be in, then you need to get involved. You need to start being a part. You need to start serving. You need to start being committed. And then 4, I would even try, as you're in the church, which the church should be doing, to find someone in there that can even begin discipling you and mentoring you, someone that you can really lean into. Because if you are a part of a good church and they are holding to God's word and they are standing strong in the beliefs that we should be having based on the word of God, then they will be able to even help you get a greater understanding of the word. And anytime you have someone that's helping disciple you or mentoring you or just being that kind of, you know, spiritual leader within your life, with that comes accountability, and we need accountability as Christians, or we will get deceived. We'll get seduced by things in this world. We'll give way to compromise. We'll give way to lean into things, to get comfortable with things in this world. And we need people in our lives that will hold us accountable, that will continue to hold up truth within our lives and say, you're getting off course, or you shouldn't be dabbling into that, or no, we need to bring it back in. You need to get back to God's word. So I would say all those different 4 things that I shared, I think will really help anyone that's maybe in that place of needing to find a new church, to get more rooted in God's word. All of those things will help you. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will be the main one really helping and guiding you to find exactly where you need to go, and even putting the right people in your life that you need to have.
That's so good, sister. Come on. Oh, Maddie Ray, you mentioned it. The new book, Culture Cleanse. I want to go there. Yeah. I want to talk about all the things. Don't spoil everything, because I definitely want to read this book. But tell us the things, because you're so right. James 4:4 talks about friendship with the world is truly hostility against God. And that's just not okay. And so how can we unfriend this world? How do we know if we are a friend of this world? And how can we cleanse ourselves from this culture?
Yeah, I was feeling that. I think it was about last year when God gave me this. It was a sermon at first called Culture Cleanse. And I think it came out of just a lot of what I was preaching and different things, but mostly it came out of the verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which most of us know how we don't need to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But God showed me that verse in the Message version of a translation of the Bible, which I really, really loved. And it said in the Message version, it said, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. When I read that in the Message version, it changed my perspective of how we read that verse. Because sometimes as Christians, we can read verses and we can kind of brush it off a little bit, like, yeah, I'm not conforming to the pattern of this world. But what does that mean to start conforming to the way that this world is? It's where we become well adjusted to it. We start getting very comfortable with the things of this world. We start being okay with, you know, the way that social media is going on, the way that society is happening, the things that are going on in culture. We start being okay with it. We start going from a place of, well, I'm going to tolerate it. You know, I'm just going to tolerate it. I don't agree with it, but I'm just going to tolerate it. So then we go to a place where, well, you know what? Maybe I am going to accept it. Maybe it is okay. If they want to do that, then let them live how they want to live. Then I'll accept it. But then it goes to this place where we start celebrating it now. Mm-hmm. Where now we're not just, you know, tolerating it and just accepting it. But now we're like, yeah, you live how you want to live. Yeah, you go ahead and make those decisions. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. I won't judge you. I'll still love you. And we've become, to your point, Georgia, of James 4:4, we've become a friend of the world. We've come alongside of this culture. And we said, I'm going to support where this culture is at. I'm going to support where the world is at today. And you know what? If I need to compromise in certain areas so that way people still know that I just love them, and I say love in, you know, quotations, kind of, oh, I love them, then that's what I'm going to do. And I think a lot of Christians, I think the church, I think a lot of believers, I think we have come to that place. And when I share this message, I don't share it in a way ever of condemnation or judgment, because I too understand the pressures of this world. We were talking a moment ago, even about this intimidation. This culture, this society is very intimidating. towards the church. And I wrote this book, Culture Cleanse, not to call out the Christians, not to call out the church, because I love the church. I love the church so much. And I wrote it to be a message of empowerment, where we need to be empowered, where we get back into the place that we were called to be as believers. As believers, we should not be letting this culture think that it can cancel us, think that it can intimidate us, think that it can pressure us or bully us, because greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. We have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that has enabled us to be able to do all things through Christ Jesus. He's enabled us to live a life that's pleasing to God. He's enabled us to stand, having done all to stand. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit because we've chosen to believe in Jesus Christ. And our belief in Jesus Christ shouldn't make us feel less than, like the culture tries to make us. It shouldn't make us feel like we're not strong, or like we're not, you know, doing this or that. We should feel empowered. So yes, we need to cleanse ourselves of this culture. And by cleansing ourselves, the first thing is we have to get back to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We have to be washed. We have to be cleansed by the washing of the Word of God, as the Bible talks about, where we let it wash over us. That is where it says in Romans 12, verse 2, if we take it back to the regular version, where we do have to renew our mind, because we've become very well adjusted to the way that the world thinks, the way that the world acts, the way that the world responds, the way that the world processes things, the world's perspective. We've allowed that to become a part of the way that we live. I've shared this when I've gone out and ministered. As Christians, the way we've become well-adjusted is we've started listening to the same music that the world listens to. We watch the same movies that the world watches. We follow the same people that the world follows. We go to the same places that the world goes to. We act the same way the world acts. We say the same words that the world says. We're very comfortable living like the world. Mm-hmm. But in the first chapter of my book, Culture Cleanse, I say in there, we have to get back to what the true gospel message is, because when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our life is radically transformed. We come out from among the world and we become separate. There's this supernatural thing that happens in our lives where everything that we were once bound to in the world, everything that we once went to find hope, to find peace, to find love, to find answers, it now becomes null and void because we've experienced the power and the glory and the saving work of Jesus Christ, where we are now cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of us, where we can now live different than the way we lived before we got to know Jesus and before we accepted him into our lives. So if I could break this down and maybe kind of wrap up everything that I'm saying with this book, I think it comes down to three things. I think it comes down to, one, we have to get back to the Word of God, because that's what's ultimately going to cleanse us. Number two, we have to begin to have this loyalty to God, where we stand on this relationship that we have with him. We don't let things challenge our faith in Jesus Christ. We stand knowing that my relationship with Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that anybody could ever have. So I don't need to feel less than, intimidated, bullied, because I have the answer to any problem that's in this world, and it is found in Jesus. And then I think thirdly, we need to start living life in a, I would say before, a very radical way, because when I think of a very radical way, it is living a consecrated life, a separated life, and a dedicated life unto God. But I think as I've been reading God's word more, especially honing into actually Romans 12 verse 1, this living life completely given over to God, it's actually not as radical as we think. It's actually pretty reasonable, because when we read in Romans 12, verse 1, it says that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable before the Lord. And this is our reasonable service. Mm. It's reasonable to live consecrated unto God. It's reasonable to live separated from the world. And it's reasonable to dedicate ourselves completely unto God. And that's what I believe we need to do today if we're going to cleanse ourselves of the culture, and if we're going to be used by God as honorable vessels to then go out into the culture and make a difference in the lives of people that need it.
Girl, you're right. It is reasonable. I mean, Jesus hung on that cross for us, poured out all of his blood. He is not a halfway healer. Like, He truly rose again. We are not victims. We are victorious in his name. And so we need to truly live that out, truly. And so to the friend who says, okay, I may be conforming to the patterns of this world, the things that you just said, from movies to people I follow, to the places that I go to in my town, what I listen to, I've never thought about that. Right? They may be saying that, oh, shoot. So that's like a lot to swallow. And they may think, well, where do I start? Because
I wish they could see me as I was saying this, because I promise I said it with a smile on my face.
No, yes. And I don't mean it to sound harsh, but, and I hope I'm not coming across as like a harsh, like, but you know, it is a lot where it's like, oh, that, how do I let go of all of this at once? And so I guess my question for you, Maddie Rae, is like, okay, do you have like some practical steps? Maybe it's like, hey, turn off your music and try listening to some new worship artists like Maddie Rae, which is, she has some incredible tunes out there. So what would you give to that friend?
Yeah. Well, I think it starts, I think Georgia, if I could even say, I think you're a great example, you know, of how to come away at times of the things of this world and really just go spend time with God, because I think it comes down to that. I can give a lot of practical ways, and there's always alternatives for anything that you're listening to, watching, partaking of. There's always alternatives. So there's always going to be Christian alternatives to the music that you listen to. If you're listening to secular music, there's great Christian hip hop artists, Christian worship artists, Christian pop artists, Christian R&B artists, Christian country artists. There's alternatives for that. So just literally go on Apple Music, Spotify, and go find it. You can go on YouTube, you'll find it.
That's right.
There's Christian alternatives. There's Christian alternatives to the movies that you watch, you know, and whether it be, you know, hey, I'm just going to find movies that maybe are just a little bit more appropriate. You know, maybe I'm not going to watch the rated R movies, or hey, I'm even going to be careful with the PG-13 movies that are watched, or whatever. You can decide how you're going to go about all of that, and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you in those areas if you're watching something that you shouldn't. Because heck, you could even be listening, you could be watching a movie that's PG and there's questionable stuff in it today because of just where the world is at.
For
the world, it's a PG, right? It's a PG movie for the world, but for the Christian, we're like, no, we need to turn that off because that's just not okay. Uh-huh. And so you have to let the Holy Spirit guide you in all of that. And so that's with the practical things. If it's places you should be going, well, then again, allow the Holy Spirit to really convict you where you're being obedient to the Lord. If he's saying you don't need to be going into that environment, then we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, I'm not going to go there. But how do we grow? And this is the big key. How do we grow in that sensitivity? Because I even want to be careful, because I've had to be careful of this, because I've grown up very guarded in the things that I can do and can't do. And so I always have to be careful when I share things, because I never want to come across legalistic either, because I grew up very like, there's, you know, this and that, and I've submitted to that my whole life, but not everybody is ready to dive into all just the, you know, specific do's and don'ts. And so it is the Holy Spirit. But how do we personally have that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit where we are actually obedient when we feel convicted? Because there's some of us, you might be watching things, listening to things, or going places. And back to your original question, you have gotten comfortable. And if you're comfortable with it, then that means that right now, there might not be that strong conviction that you have. You might not have that strong conviction to say no. That conviction, that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, that gets developed and that gets cultivated in your personal time with the Lord. And that's why I say, I know Georgia can speak on that, because Georgia, you've even been such a great example to me as I've watched you and you've shared your life through social media of how you've gone into your prayer closet and your time with God and the way that you prioritize that. We really have to prioritize that in our lives, because the more time that you spend with God, the more you find out what he likes and what he doesn't like. You find out what pleases him and what doesn't please him. You find out what draws you closer to him, where you can relate to him in his holiness. And you find out what things don't relate to him and his holiness. You find that out in his presence. And then when you come out of his presence, this is where the Bible is true, where it talks about in the book of John, how we abide in him and he then abides in us. That spending time with the Lord is you abiding in him. Now, when you come out of that time, whether it be in your closet, your time of prayer, that secret place, now he has to abide in you, where no matter where you go, no matter what you do, he's a part of every area of your life. For it says in Psalms that he delights in every detail of your life. And this is where, after those moments, you now have to choose, as I'm getting sensitive to the Holy Spirit with what he likes, what he doesn't like, what pleases him, what doesn't please him, am I going to listen and heed to his voice when he speaks to me? Or am I going to ignore him? Am I going to choose the world? Or am I going to choose the word? Am I going to choose my friendship with the things of this world? Or am I going to choose my friendship with the Holy Spirit? And that all comes down to our decision. But the more you spend time with him, the more you're going to start feeling, I don't want to listen to that kind of music. I don't want to watch those kind of shows. I don't want to go to those kind of places. I don't want to do that because I just feel convicted. This doesn't please him. And I would rather go do things that please him than things that don't please him. I could be listening to this music right now that everybody's listening to, but I really just feel like going to worship God because he's pulling at me. You know, I could watch these movies that everybody's been telling me to watch, but you know what? I really want to listen to this sermon and I really want to listen to this podcast. Man, there's that one good podcast called Faith and Friends, and I really want to listen to the next episode. I really want to go and do that rather than these other things that I would go to before. And all of that gets cultivated during our time with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I'll lastly say this to that point. This is what helped me so much with my relationship with the Holy Spirit. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, in the Message version, it says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, which is the Holy Spirit. My relationship with the Holy Spirit began to grow when I learned that the only way to live a life that's pleasing to God is having an intimate and personal relationship with him.
Amen. Yes. Yes. That is so true. That is where my relationship has really grown too, is in that secret place with the Holy Spirit. And truly it is a conversation. It is not a, here's my, you know, prayers, God, bye-bye, have a good day. I remember, Maddie Ray, in the middle of the pandemic, I was sent back home, you know, and with my good old family, and I just love them so much. And I was just spending quiet time with the Lord like I normally do. And then I was just praying and I felt the Spirit say, are you going to let me speak back? Are you going to heed to me? And that changed my life forever. It literally stopped me in my tracks. I was like, yes, Lord. And that has been my answer to him ever since, is yes, Lord. It can't be anything but that, right? And so we think, oh, maybe that's just me, or oh, maybe that's the bad Mexican food I ate last night. I don't know. But listen, lean in. Sometimes we're not that smart. Like, it is the Lord. It is his Spirit that is truly speaking to us and chasing us down. And so give him a chance. If you're like, oh, I've thought that was the Holy Spirit, but I've also thought it was me. Lean into it. Seek out God, look for him in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And then he will start to reveal himself to you. Like you said, as you abide in him and him in you. I just love that. You are such an inspiration to me, Maddie Ray, with the way that you live your life. You truly are set apart from this culture and you are a woman of his word. And I just love you so much. And I'm so grateful for where the Lord has you. And you're truly made for such a time as this, sister. It's so beautiful to do life with you.
Oh, Georgia, that means so much to me. And, you know, I'm so grateful just to the Lord, because I think, you know, my life is not the exception, you know, this is for everyone, you know, for us to really lean in, you know, to God's life. And I love the friendship that I have with you, because I know I've shared with you before how much I really just admire your commitment and your dedication just to your relationship with the Lord and prioritizing that. And I think it comes down to that in all of our lives of like, are we willing to really prioritize our relationship with God? And I think with things, you know, like social media or media, entertainment, and all of that, it's so easy and so Yeah, at times even more comfortable to just lean into those things to be entertained for a moment or to make it, let it have us feel good or whatever it is. But I think you've been an example of this, and I try to continue to live my life like this, but to just always prioritize the Lord, to prioritize His word, because that is truly what's going to carry us in our lives. That's what's going to sustain us. That's what's going to be our source. And that's what's going to speak. The fruit of His word being in us is going to speak to so many other people. And I'm grateful that my life can just speak from what God's word is. It's really just a testament to the word of God and the power of the word of God that it can have in your life. God's word will enable you to do some things that you just cannot do on your own. And it's available for everyone. It's applicable for everyone. And it's been given to all of us by way of Jesus Christ and by way of the Holy Spirit. And so just lean into that and let God just do a new work in you. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him purify you. I say at the end of my book, let the cleansing begin. You could be stepping in to the most pure, the most clean, the most liberating life that you have ever lived if you allow the word of God to wash over you in this season.
Amen, girl. Now, where can our friends get this book, Culture Cleanse?
Yes, it's available online. It's available on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon. All of my books are on there. I've released a couple of them over the past couple of months and last year. And so you can find them on Amazon. You can also find them on my online store called thedwellshop.com. I've got some other merch on there and stuff like that. But get the book. And then if you get the book, make sure you let me know. Send me a DM, like on Instagram. Connect with me on Instagram because I put out a lot of stuff on there. When new resources come out, you know, whether I'm preaching on this message or giving encouraging words through the Monday encouragement that I do, just follow me on there. I think it'll really encourage you in your walk with God in all those different ways. So check out the book and then connect with me on good old Instagram.
Good old Instagram. We like to hang out on there. And I think it's Official Maddie Ray. Am I right?
Official Maddie Ray. Yes. Thank you. Official Maddie Ray.
Yes. Yes. Well, Maddie Ray, I just love you, and I thank you so much for this time. This is a very special conversation, and I thank you for speaking the truth in love so boldly that is truly straight from God's word.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you so much, Georgia. Always good having a conversation about faith and having it with all of our friends. So thank you so much.
Amen. We'll see you next time.
Y'all, I pray this episode blessed you today and gave you confidence to walk fully in the calling as a daughter and a son of Jesus. Maddie Ray is such an inspiration to this side of heaven, and I'm so grateful that she's our sister. It has been such a blessing to hang out with her today, and I hope you feel the same way. But until I see you next week, don't forget, friend, there is a song on your heart only you can sing. Your voice is important. Bye.